Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live Yahweh's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. I'll be your host. For part 13, exposing the lies out of the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints. We're going to go straight to our elder, and our elder will tell you all about the broadcast, and we'll get something going on. So let's go straight to our elder and see if we bring him in and tell you exactly what's going on in nice broadcast, take 13. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Israel.
Yahweh be there, see you right. And Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and see you well. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
All right there, yo. Hallelujah, Yahweh. On the end, we're kind of running super late behind this broadcast, so just take your time and tell the network we here, ready to go. Whatever the Almighty put on you to tell them, you're on the clock tomorrow.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And I stick my hands usually where I know that things will work and try to get to go working accordingly. And this is another reason why I welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast at Yahweh's Ministry. We come to you live, open to you always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, and always, it's about Yahweh's word. Learning how to connect with Bible books to your biblical education, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping those Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. The information you came to seek, and you now have found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahweh, open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday and Thursday. Tuesday, we usually don't have a class unless there's a high day or a special one. Now, we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. You use this, open up any search engine. Right on your search engine, search line, type tribeyahweh.com. click in it. Just under this big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tires and all. Click the bell and follow the instructions. In the other device, you might see menu. But if you're not clicking that, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tires and all. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the Book of Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 86, verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, come unto his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the scriptures we read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and read once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus says Yahuwah alive. Also for building a school, which I often mention is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health booths we continue to speak of on this program. Hopefully Yahuwah. Also while there, check out our calendar. It has helped to keep many people in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. That includes myself. We also have a live program. It's a feature that's available during our live broadcasting. To get there, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into a live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. Thank you for writing your written opinions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can call with your phone line. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5511. This is our international phone number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 600 camps of the Yahuwah's ministry. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you'll only hear a discouraging doubt. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs with the 12 tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer. You email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC. The New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen. And now, even the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line at 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Unless you call trying to teach. You will just hear a discouraging doubt. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of today's program, catch the entire show today after 9:15 p.m. Except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do this, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Choose the program you will be logging into, or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during our normal broadcast, you'll find Yahuwah's story will also be transmitted on Paltalk. Paltalk, you can log in by phone, tablet, or computer. Just download the Paltalk app. You will be listed under ethnic groups, African American. Look for Voices of the Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. You'll find a room will hold 50 or more listening participants. Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer on the table topics we discussed during the broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, Israel, along with the seer Israel, writings, and Shachar. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find the Broad Talk ends before teaching time is done. We will continue our teaching on Peltel. But a listening note, we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer. Remember to be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahweh will flow smoothly, remembering that we have those hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And so we can start to do that. We will turn our program over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah,
Yahweh. All right, there, Elder. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I got this old memo just came in, Elder. And just like you said, don't call in trying to teach. And you call in trying to teach, but then all of a sudden now you got a message saying, this is our way back, that we need to know and everybody needs to hear this message that we left on the answer machine, so properly you will play it and let the world hear exactly what they got to do since this Black History Month of the African Americans. So, Elder, what we're going to do, we're gonna bring in the young lines, and we're going to bring in mothers in, and then we're going to play what's on the answer machine on this great message of Black History Month that needs to be played about 10 minutes, and we all hear it together. So, what do you think about that, Elder?
Hallelujah, Akwa. That's what it says. At the more
right.
The merrier.
Hallelujah, Akwa. We're going to find out what this great message is on Black History Month that we all hear together, and they say it's about 10 minutes. So we're going to listen about 10 minutes at the message, and then the same token, probably the young line take great notes and see what did they say and what did they leave out. See, like we did when we were looking at the other tape from the machine, that when they were talking about the people that were sitting in the audience, it was up on the being Muslims, but they was really the Negro, but it really was the Israelites. So we listen to what is not said. And that's how we examine, by hearing what is not said. That's the case. Let's see, we bring in a young line and get everybody on stage, and we'll play what's on the answer machine coming up shortly. So we'll meet the young line with a loud voice, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1, Brother Makai Israel. Brother
Makai
Israel, Yahweh
be to see Roy. And Yahweh bless you there, see Israel, of see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young man, I want you to make sure you put some notes on what we get ready to hear shortly. And they said this is Black History Month, and this is what we need to unify up under this Black History Month, and everybody's supposed to hear it. But we gonna listen to it ourselves, there, young lion, and I want to ask you a question. What part was not said? It's not what's said; it's what's not said. We'll find out later when we ask you something. Shortly. All right, Mother E, Tribe of Yahdaw, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother E. Ready to come on stage for tape 13. We'll find out. Hey, Mother E, Tribe of Yahdaw Judah, Yahweh bless you, see you right.
Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother. Now, Mother, we want to make sure you kind of listen that real good on this message and keep an eye on them young lines, and you might have to, you and Mother Z might have to bring that strap. We're going to ask them some questions after we all hear this message together. So you might have to beat your back a little bit coming up shortly. This thing is all about getting on one accord, one mind. So make sure you hear what we get ready to play shortly off the answer machine. You too there, Mother Z. So before we get up some Luke 12:12, let's all wrap back for the next 10 minutes and hear this message. Then we'll get some Luke 12:12, and then we will ask the young lion one question. What would you tackle first after we all hear it together? Let's see what's going on, and let's see if we take notes together. And then we're going to see exactly what a young lion is. What would he put on the table first? Let's see.
That's what I feel most comfortable doing. That's what I love to do, helping people who don't know God, connect to the Bible, connect to their purpose. And so you find out what you're comfortable with. And millennials and Gen X, I'm going to tell you now, God has some great work in store for you. Your work is not away from the church. You don't have to leave the church in order to do work. The church, the African-American church, has been the catalyst for helping hold our community together. Woe unto us if for whatever reason we get mad, fall out, leave the church, and think that we're going to go somewhere and we're going to build our community outside the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and he intends for the church to build up the rest of the world.
Yes.
We need to look at how we were tricked into selling our own people out.
Yes.
You know, and so that's one part of our history that I'll never want us to miss, because we are being tricked into selling our own people out now.
Yes.
But the other thing about it is to study Egyptology. I went to Egypt once, and I was looking at all the pictures on the wall, and I was looking at how in Egypt, 5,000 years ago, black people were actually operating. They were using anesthesia. They were on top of all of the medical field. And all of that was happening in Egypt with black people 5,000 years ago. But that's a part of where we have been programmed. If people tell you that you are a jungle bunny, and that you were a heathen in the jungles, and you were not doing anything, and that's where you came from, then you have a perception that that's all you are.
Yes.
But had they ever said to us, you know, you guys were scientists, you guys were builders, you guys built pyramids, you guys figured out everything, had they told us that, we would have been saying, oh, well, we are from a mighty people. And so now we are of age. We can Google. We can go on internet, we can search, and we can find out how black people have not only built this country, but the country where we came from, how we built that country. And it's our obligation to do the research and then to pass it on to future generations. Psalm 78 talks about that we're supposed to pass the Bible on to future generations. We're also supposed to pass our own history on to our generations. And if we don't pass it on, then our young people will never know what we have been, and they'll never aspire to be. I don't have anything against rappers. The greatest thing that I would want to share as it relates to black history is how I used to feel ashamed of being black. I really did. I was ashamed because our neighborhoods were always impoverished. Our schools were always the worst schools. Whenever I drive in a car, I know when I got to a black neighborhood.
Yeah.
You just look at it and say, oh, God, everything run down. And I used to wonder, what's wrong with black people? Are we shiftless? Are we lazy? Why can't we get it together? Why can't we organize like every other ethnic group? Until I learned the history. And when I discovered that we have been oppressed for 400 years in this country, we had to work in this country without wages. No other ethnic group has ever had to work in America without getting paid. When the Lithuanians, the Poles, the Chinese, everybody who came here, they had a right to organize. They had a right to an education. They had a right to a paycheck. We were denied all of that. When slavery ended, there was another 130 years of Jim Crow, which means that we still had schools that we couldn't attend. So we are just now getting to a point where, and we're still not equal. Our school system is still not equal. So when I looked around and discovered all of that, and I saw and I see how far we've come, and we've operated under barriers that have been totally against us, seen our people grow and make the strides that we have and progress. We have a lot of progression to go, but don't ever be, those of you who are African-American, don't ever be ashamed that you are an African-American. Don't ever be ashamed of where we are in America. Look at how far we've had to come. Look at the hole that we were in. For people to tell us, let's just forget all of that happened, let's just start equal. We can't start equal. If we were in a race and you had a 40-minute head start,
exactly,
and then I show up at the race and you say, okay, catch him. That's
Well, imagine 400 years.
Yes, sir.
He has a 400-year head start.
So, no, it's hard for me to catch you, but I tell you what, I'm going to keep running.
Yeah, we got to keep running.
I'm here to help people spiritually connect to God. That's what I feel most comfortable doing. That's what I love to do, helping people who don't know God connect to God, connect to the Bible, connect to their purpose. And so you find out what you're comfortable with. And millennials and Gen Xers, I'm going to tell you now, God has some great work in store for you. Have to look at now, okay, what did the game used to be? How has it changed? And now that it's changed, what do we do now in the context of that change to continue to make strides? And so it's a study game, and this is the enlightenment generation, and we shouldn't be afraid of research and study. You know how kids, we used to research with encyclopedias?
Yeah, yeah,
the book. All about
it. Wagner's, they stole it,
and we had to sit out in the floor, and we had to read through all of that. And this is the generation of instant information. So if they change the game, we could study what the game used to be. We could study up on what the new game is. And then, boom, here's our strategy. And that's what we're looking for millennials to do. We're looking for millennials to create strategy. Those millennials who, and those Gen Z who are discontented with the Church of Jesus Christ, give us your strategy. Give us strategy and say, hey, look, if you all would do X or Y or Z, or have you ever considered having preaching and no music? Or have you ever considered having music and no preaching? Have you ever considered, whatever you think your strategy is, you should be comfortable in your local church sharing your strategy with some form of leadership so that we can take a look at it, because your idea may be the greatest thing since sliced bread. We don't know it because we don't know your idea, and it's up to us to give you a comfortable platform so that your idea can be shared and appreciated. And that's what we seek to do. Find out a way, give you a comfortable platform, hear your idea, love you for your idea, appreciate your idea, and hopefully implement it.
Cool.
We love you. We thank God for you. And even though it's African American History Month, one thing that we know, and that is love is universal. And we love everybody. Black lives matter, white lives matter, green lives matter, brown lives matter. But I'll tell you what, unsaved lives matter too. And there are a lot of you who've fallen out with the church. There are a lot of you who, and the church has a lot of faults. We have a lot of errors. Preachers got a lot of faults. We have a lot of errors. But we represent a God who has no faults, and he has no errors. And whatever you do, don't fall out with God. If you're not in the right relationship with God, have your prayer time. Have your Bible reading time. And then, when you get a chance, check us out.
Well, he's a Shemite. So being a Negro, then I agree with God. You know, so it's like looking in the mirror. So this was the origin of the beard of Negro. You know, these ancient Assyrians from the land of Abraham. So this is what Abraham looked like, right? And this is proof positive that Negroes were Shemite. And his calling card is his beard. You know, the Negro was a name for Jewel in the old Northern land of Spain. You just think of me as a Spanish Negro that have to be on a journey to know you, who you are as a Negro. The Negro was a name for Jewel in the old Northern land of Spain. You just think of me as a Spanish Negro. So one teacher, you know, that have to be on a journey to know you, who you are as a Negro. The Negro was a name for Jewel in the old Northern land of Spain. You just think of me as a Spanish Negro. Other people.
people who are under the grips of this evil in America. So, it says here, the great seal of America reveals the hidden biblical identity of the Negroes and Negrettes. The Negrettes are the Negro Native of America.
All right, excellent. So that's the message we got. So Young Lions, that's the message we got, Harold on the machine, and he said it's one of the greatest messages. This will solve, this is Black History Month, and this will solve our problems if we obey and follow that leadership we just got through here. Now, we heard that real good there, Elder Mr. Kibbs Israel, and we heard that real good, Young Lion, and the mothers is in the background listening and want y'all to make a comment on what we just got through hearing to the way back to Black History Month. So Black History Month is going on as we speak, February month. So now we put a bite out from the Young Lion, and the elder going to be listening to the Young Lion. What did you get out of that Answer Shane message, and which way would you address that? Young Lion, Tribe of Yahshua Dutiful, but I want to make sure we got some Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Young Lion, what do Luke 12:12 say?
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit would teach you what you ought to say. And like our Israel said, when you call on the international line, don't call to teach. But since this message is so great, and this is the cure for African Americans and Negroes. So now we heard that real plainly there, Young Lion. We want to know, what do you get out of that, and which way would you go at it? And know one thing, it's over 800,000 strong on the international side. The elders is listening to you, and the mothers is listening to you also. And what they're going to do, they're going to be trying to get that strap ready to beat you back anyway. So now you take the time and bring out what you just got through taking notes on, or what you just got through here on tape 13. Young Lion, you're on the clock. The world is listening. As a matter of fact, before you get off in that, let the national audience know exactly who all hearing your speech in a few minutes. Take that part, then give us a comment on what you just got through hearing. Come on.
Okay. Well, we've been heard on, well, everywhere. Blog Talk, House Talk, YouTube. You can catch us up on YouTube at BOTTY5YHDA. You can catch us up on Facebook at BOTTY. And just, like I say, still, we're going live everywhere. Every door that Yahweh opened up for us, that's the direction we're going. So we live right now on Blog Talk, Pow Talk, on YouTube at BOTTY5YHDA. And then you can catch us on Facebook at BOTTY.
Excellent. All right, there, Young Lion. Since we know everybody listening, and the elders are listening real carefully, and the mothers are listening, and old Seer listening too. Matter of fact, Sister BSJ Israel, she said, you know, I'm all ears too. Let me get my pen out. Let me hear the Young Lion address what we just got through hearing off the answer machine. Come on there, Young Lion. You're on the clock. Come on.
Yes, for the most part, yeah. As I was sitting back listening to it, the main things from the notes I had just wrote down that I was getting from it was I was trying to promote the month of Black History Month, but how he was referring to things like calling us African Americans and talking about us being in the church and what areas we was in the land of Egypt and us in a studying Egyptology. And I was mainly trying to push the being over here in America for oppressed for 400 years and trying to say he's the direction that we should follow. But he kept promoting African-American. And I never heard him put a title on a, put a name on who is African, the African-Americans or the Negroes. He's at the point of time, he's talking about the Negroes being over in a specific area. But they never put a name on who are the Negroes or who are the African-Americans and who are the church. So that's what I got from when I was listening to it.
Excellent, that young lion. You, that was excellent. Those stairs, I'm drinking a little hot tea behind that. All right, Elder. Do you agree the seer said that was excellent? We just got to hear from the young lion. What you think about that, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel? What you just got through hearing and the young lion just expounding on what he heard. So what you think about the speech of the young lion? Come on.
Well, I thought the young lion's speech was directly impacting what was said. You know, another thing you have to think about when you start listening to Black history, somebody talking about Black history, they never really emphasize certain things that you need to hear. Even in the schools, they have threatened teachers so far about teaching history. You want your job? You cannot teach where you came from. That was said just recently. But now if you're going to turn that back around into the Bible, it made me think about a couple of verses. When we start studying the Bible and learning where we come from, look what it said in 2 Timothy 2:15. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. Now, it made me think about that. And also, you know, we'll put you in the mind of Sirach, chapter 11, I think, verse 36. And it would go, 36 says, if thou seest a man of understanding, sit ye behind unto him, and let thy foot wear the steps of his door. So it makes us think, make me think about what we go through in this ministry. The stuff that we have to pass out for educating people in the word of Yahweh and about biblical history. So we're all on point. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. So Mother, now you heard the young lion speech and you heard the elder speech. Do you agree on what they have gave the explanation here in the answer machine message? So do you agree with what you heard with the young lions and the elders, they gave they understanding on what they just got through hearing? So what's your take on what they said there, Mother? Mother, you on the clock. Come on.
Okay, well, I would say, the young man was speaking on the things that he heard. And I think that he was speaking right, because he didn't hear, because I didn't hear plain, but he said he didn't hear them mention them, what nationality the African Americans were and the Africans. So I say, you know, they were speaking right. And
all right, hallelujah, Father. So, Father, you definitely sound like you was definitely hearing what I heard too, and that's a great thing. So, see what it is, we have to hear what they don't say. See, a lot of people say a lot of things, but they don't say. And see, what they don't say is, the people of the Bible, is scriptures reading, is written down for us for our learning, that the people of the book, young man, let's open up in part 13, exposing lies out of the Christian church and the Latter-day Saints. I'm going to put that on hold for a little bit, but I ain't through with this series, period. I just want to respond on what that message we heard on Ask Machine earlier. And remember, the elder said, when you come in late, you can't get a rebroadcast back at 9:15 somewhere. So it's good to analyze that open speech. Now, we're not going to tell you who the big dignitary that was speaking, saying this is the best way for African Americans and Negroes to come back to their position. So we want to examine everything we heard. We heard a little bit, too. We took notes, too. So now we're going to see. But, and he did quote a verse. He quoted a verse in Psalm 78. And see, that's one thing about it. When you quote Bible verses, that really gets my attention, but on what you might leave out. And we're going to see, can we examine what was left out in quoting Psalm 78. We're going to find out what's going on shortly. But young man in Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3, 15 down to verse 18. Can you help those three out? We open up in Tate 13, and we examine the message we heard from the answer machine. We all heard together. So this is a Black history statement that we need to know, and this will get the Negro and the Black African Americans out of the condition they're in. That's what we just heard. So he applied the number one way to do it according to his understanding. But we want to examine everything and see can it hold up. So 2 Timothy 3, 15 down to verse 18, young man. Can you help me out in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 to 18. Let's see if we get something going on. You want to talk, young lion, come on.
Okay. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 15 down to verse 17.
Verse 15. Make it 15. Mother okay. Z said, make it 15.
Okay. Verse 15 reads, and that from a child you have known the righteous scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the covenant, which is in Yahuwah the Son. 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahuwah and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of Yahuwah may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Mm-hmm. So all scripture is given inspiration of the Almighty, four-letter man. So anytime you quote scriptures, that means it's inspiration of the Mighty One. So you got to bring it out in grand style, because when you quote scriptures, and we heard a scripture that was quoted in Psalm 78. I took notes on it, Psalm 78. And we want to examine that verse, because if this Black History Month, the Negro Month, and a quote was on the table, Psalm 78. But Mother Eve, before we read Psalm 78, can you help those see out in Numbers chapter 15, Mother? As a matter of fact, young line, give me that 78, 1 through 10. Then go right off into Thomas 1, verse 3. Had that waiting on me. I want to examine something. Numbers chapter 15, Mother. 8. And we're looking at verse 15, 16, and 29. We're going to see what we can. I wrote down a couple of statements that was made. And my ears kind of got real big when it was quoted saying that we, whatever he said, but he also said we was a great people. We was not just only slaves, we was architects and was a whole lot of things. So Timbuktu, they held up, Mr. Tibbs. He says that we weren't always, but he said we was architects, we was builders, we was everything. But I kept on hearing the word we, and I never heard names. I never heard names. See, when you go into, for example, you run to the police station, say, hey, he went in my pocket and taking my money. He said, yeah, I see that your pocket's missing and you ain't got no money, but I just can't run out there and look for heat. I need a name. I need descriptions on the heat. Give me a little bit more about the heat. Just don't tell me about he did it. What was he? Was he African American Negro? Or was he the sons of Esau, meaning a white man and white woman? Was he Moab or Amun, the Chinese, the Japanese? What was it? See, you got to have more detail. So we heard the speech. So we're going to see if we bring out more detail on the speech we just got through here. So now, Mother, number 15, 15, and 16, and 29. Hey, Mother, what can you bring on stage on tape 13 with numbers 15, 15, and 16, and 29? You're on the clock, Mama.
The book of Numbers, just 15, verse 15, 16, and 29. Verse 15, one order shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, and orders forever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Yahweh. Verse 16, one law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. Verse 29, ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them.
Mm-hmm. So it ain't but one way. And what we're going to find out now that when Moses talked to the children of Israel, meaning you can't follow them, they got to follow you. Now, if you follow them, now you have lost your blessing in Yahweh. So once you know that you're the children of Israel, that means if you follow by identifying yourself while being African American and Negro, that means them words was given to you. That means you're not upon the blessing of Yahweh, because there's no blessing in the Bible for African American, Negro, Black. So long as you identify with being African American, Negro, Black, no blessings is in the Bible for you. So whatever strategy was just got through talking about, all I heard was name for the Black, the African American, and the Negro. I heard nothing about what we just got through reading here. So this is what I didn't hear. See, to help these people, they got to know that you're not African American. You're not Negro. You're not color. Since you're dealing with Black History Month. Now, Mother, look what it says in Isaiah 65, verse 15. So since if you got the people's attention and you were able to deliver a profound statement among the Black History Month, then what part did you leave out? Since you did quote Psalm 78. We go on to 65, Mother, and verse 15. Did you tell them this right here? Psalms 65, verse 15. What did it say that, Mother? What does Psalm 65, 15 say? Yeah, Isaiah 55. Yeah, you're right, Isaiah. You're right, Mother. Sometimes I get happy because, first, when I hear somebody quote scriptures, that gets my attention. Because we know what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, you're supposed to lead out with the oracles of the Almighty. So when a statement's on the table called Psalm 78, We the Peoples of Psalm 78. Now, that got my attention on what I just got through hearing in the beginning of the broadcast. So like the elder say, now, if you missed the beginning of the broadcast, make sure at 9:15 you get the broadcast, because when you miss a minute, you miss the whole show. But this is a spirit-led broadcast. Good. Israel, got it? Good. Now, what you getting ready to read?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 6:5, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my children. For the Yahweh shall slay thee and call his servant by another name.
He said, you're going to leave your name for a curse. Isaiah was prophesying in 700 B.C. said, you're going to leave your name and you're going to pick up a curse name. You're going to respond more to a curse name than your name. And I even heard another word saying, whatever problems you have with the church and those pastors, we make a lot of mistakes. But don't leave the church. Come. I heard that word church too. I heard that in that tape. The church. But we just found out you're going to leave your name for, and he said, I'm going to slay you because you left your name. Now, hold that point. I want to find out what name have you left. So we know everybody holding a lot of good stuff on the table. But young lion, just put to the side what you're holding. And let's go to Numbers chapter 6. And let's find out what name you're going to leave for a curse. And tell me, do you hear this name in the sermon that we just got through hearing earlier and saying this is the best way back for black African-American Negro? I heard all that now. But Isaiah said in 700 B.C., you're going to leave your name for a curse name. Now, what name did you leave? And we'll play that answer machine tape even tomorrow if it's necessary. So what name had you left for a curse? And tell me, did you hear this name mentioned, period, that young lion Bud Mikhail get ready to read in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 down to verse 27? What did it say that, young lion?
The book of Numbers, chapter 22, down to verse 27. Verse 22 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto Aaron his spirit, and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Verse 24, the Yahweh bless you and keep you. 25, the Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. 26, the Yahweh lift up his counsels upon you and give you peace. Verse 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Oh. So when you carry the name Israel, what did Almighty say you'll do if when you pronounce your name, and when your name go all the way over, and at the end of it is Israel, according to verse 27, what did the Almighty say he was going to do, telling Moses, the Yahweh that time, Aaron the seer, according to Exodus chapter 1? What is you under by having that name at the end of your name? According to verse 27. What did it say, young lion?
And I will bless them.
So the name Israel carries a what?
A blessing.
A blessing. Oh. So when we precept that to the 44th chapter, young lion, 1 down to verse 5, can you help those see up? What happens if you precept that verse to the 44th chapter, 1 down to verse 5? When you precept that, let's see what happens in 44, 1 through 5. What does it say?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 1 down to verse 5. Verse 1 reads, "Yet now hear, O Israel, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen." Verse 2, "Thus says the Yahuwah that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Israel, my servant, and you, Israel, whom I have chosen." Verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring." Verse 4, "And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water course." Verse 5, "One shall say, I am the Yahuwah, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahuwah, and surname himself by the name of Israel."
So Israel is a surname, so that means Israel go at the end of your name.
Hallelujah. Well,
regardless about what the big dignitaries do, but when you, we understand you got to have a certain name to cash your check. We understand that. But when you among other peoples and they ask you what your name is, like a case in point, J, Sister B, FJ Israel. So when you among other peoples, you tell them that my name is Israel at the end of it. So where you get that from? Then you have your verses to show it, because the conversation I'm in with you, I want to make sure that the Mighty One is in it. So by me having my last name Israel, I know the Almighty is looking at that, because that's one of his sons and daughters. So that's why you want to surname yourself at the end of your name, Israel, because now your conversation is up under a blessing. But as long as you don't carry that name Israel, you're not up under a blessing. You have left your name for a curse. So that part I didn't hear in that conversation. They're showing you that, okay, by you not having Israel at your name, since you got the big dignitaries doing the talking, why didn't you tell the peoples that African American, Negro, and color, and black ain't gonna cut it? If you
put
the end of your name Israel, you up on a blessing. Then the Almighty can hear you quicker. He can hear you quicker. Now I'm gonna show you why I know he'll hear you quicker. Hey, Elder, let's tell. Hey, Elder, see what Exodus chapter 2 say, verse 23 down to verse 25. See, we laying a little foundation, because we heard some good stuff, and Dr. Shane Message says, this is the message we need to tell our people. So I said, wait a minute. The message that we need to tell our people, I said, I'm all ears on to hear this now. I'm listening to it. He said, but don't call us out here. Okay, I'm not going to call you out. But the message we heard is what I heard so far. It's not the answer for the peoples of the book. Look what it says in Exodus by our elder, Mr. Tibbs Israel, give me to read 2, verse 23. What it say, elder? Hey, elder, Mr. Tibbs, what it say? Seer, I don't like the way this is going. We getting ready to mute elder. WCC said they don't like the way it's going. They're able to get ready to mute you. So, hey, mother. Hey, mother E.
Mm-hmm.
What do it say in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 on verse 25? So, the big WCC, World Council of Churches, just muted our elder. Now, I don't know how long he's going to be mute, but he's mute right now. So, that's why we keep telling you, land school, banquet hall, and a radio station, we need to get in where we've been in at, because this message got to be told. See, we like the zeal of everybody. But remember, one message comes from the Bible, and it got to be brought out. I mean, you just can't get to a point and stop. Tell them a little bit more. So mother getting ready to read something in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 on verse 25. What did it say that mother?
Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25, verse 23. And it come to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel cried by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto Yahweh by reason of the bondage. Verse 24. And Yahweh heard their groaning, and Yahweh remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, Israel. Verse 25. And Yahweh looked upon the children of Israel, and Yahweh had respect unto them.
Well, wait a minute, mother. What happened to the black African-American Hebrew Negro? What kind of respect did Yahweh have for the black African-American Negro or Hebrew? What happened to that? Speak on your line.
You don't have any for the African American Negro.
So it ain't no blessing for the African American Negro, black Hebrew. So it's no blessing for the black African American Negro Hebrew. So if you want Yahweh to be in on your prayer, then you have to follow rules and regulations like the way you follow to get your check. Don't you follow rules and regulations to get your check. So that's the same thing you got to do for your salvation. You got to follow rules and regulations to get the spiritual check you're looking for.
Hallelujah.
Now, mother, help those see out. And make it Deuteronomy chapter 4, 21. And read down to verse 23. Let's precept that, mother. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, is that what I want, verse 21 to 23? Let's see what that sounds like. See, here's the point. If you a big dignitary and you have the post, of people says, and you're dealing with this Black History Month, understand this leadership. There is no blessing in the Bible for black, African-American, Negro, and color, and supercone. It's no blessing for that. If you want your blessing, you got to follow the same way you follow direction to get to your job and from your job. When you go to your job, don't you follow direction to get there? And you do things to please your boss while you're there, right? Where do you think all that came from? The Most High. He got rules and regulations for people. If you want the blessing of this Bible, he got all the rules and regulations like you study for a test. Study for the test and you pass. He got rules and regulations. Now, mother, help those see out in excellent what? That what I want? Deuteronomy 4:21. Is that what I want your line? 4:21.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that saying, 4:21? No, I don't want that. I want something else. But I'm struggling right now because you know, sometimes you look at something like the big cat, and he gets the mouse where the mouse is. He can't get back to his none of his holes. And the cat knows he can catch him. He just slaps out the head a couple of licks. He don't shut him already. And now, once I heard that a verse was put in Psalm 78, you got the big cat attention called Seer Israel. So now we want to fill in the blanks on what you left out in your speech. So now, mother, I'm struggling, mother. I want something. I'm struggling. But I'm struggling right now because those sin got happy of what he just got through hearing. So now he want to examine what he just got through hearing, but I'm struggling, and I don't know where to go to pull out what I need. So who will have to say out? I want to a precept on what mother just got through reading in the book of what she got through reading. She read Exodus 2:23-25.
Right.
But I'm struggling right now. So what do I need to precept that young man? Can you help those see out? I'm struggling right now. You know. So I'm struggling right now. Can y'all help me
out? Leviticus 26:9?
I want the precept to that. But I'm struggling right now, young man. See, that's why, like I say, I love to hear great speeches, but I'm struggling right now. So, I like to take care of what I'm looking for. Okay, I just gonna tell her, you know, I just don't like to tell her that enough. You know. It talks about, he said, let my firstborn go. I'm going to do something to you. And he put a name on his firstborn. So I didn't want to tell it, but I'm struggling right now because see, I got happy. So I'm struggling now. So can you take from now? He said now, he told Moses, the Yahweh that was taking his place. He said, Moses, you go tell the sons of Ham, the Egyptians, let my peoples go.
Come on, and book of Exodus chapter on Exodus 13:2.
No, that ain't gonna cut it. So they ain't gonna cut it, young lion. So I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll put that on the side. See, that's why we be saying. See, still he sometimes he'll struggle just to let you think he's struggling. But what he'll do, he want to find out, can anybody, you know, at the sea go get him a glass of water? Will that everything be held down with no problem? So mother, I ain't going to struggle no more because I wasn't struggling from the get-go. I just was just seeing what can I get out of it. Go to the fourth chapter, mother. Speak of verse 21. Exodus 4:21. Down 23. See, we got to remember. We got to. The point we make it here, those that got an ear to hear, this is where you understand by having a helpmeet. When, if you got a helpmeet, in 2:18 of Genesis, tell you plainly, the woman was created for this man. So when this man is struggling, you got to have you more than just a pillar partner. You got to have a help meet. Because you got to be bouncing back and forth on her. Because if you struggle, she's supposed to say, yeah, my Yahweh, we talking about go to sister's birth. You know why? Because this is your duty. Because everybody know their role. Then guess what? Yahweh can turn this captivity once we understand what is the foundation saying, exactly what we supposed to be doing and doing it. See? So those that do have a better half, the purpose of your better half is to be a help meet to you. As a matter of fact, young line, give me 1:16-18 of Ruth just to get a case in point. We're going to 1:16-18. Listen good. And this one you know when you're working with something. Here go to key red. See, all night you might be fixing on something. And all of a sudden, a tenor voice might come to you. Now, this what you waiting to hear, and that's when you know you got something. When all of a sudden you might be doing something or driving the car. You might be driving the car doing something. You might be doing something. Then all of a sudden this is said to you. Then you know you got something to work with. So until you hear it, you ain't got nothing to work with. 1:16-18. Now, this is what you want to hear, a confession after now. of this. 1:16-18, the book of Ruth. Come on.
The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16 down to verse number 18. Verse 16 reads, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For whether you go, I will go. And where you log is, I will log. Your people should be my people and your Yahuwah, my Yahuwah." Verse 17, "Where you die, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Yahuwah do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part you and me." Verse 18, "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her."
And that's when you know you're working with something. When you have, that's why you got to train your offsprings up coming up. This is a speech you got to tell that man. Get to position. Whatever you own, I'm on. And that's why you got to make sure the man that your offspring is talking to is a, help me out there, young line. Give me a 3712. That's why it's so important for us to understand one thing. We come on in there every 6 nights a week. But that's why it's so important about school, banquet hall, land to grow, because we got to teach our people that you're not what these leaderships say you are. You're not black. You're not African-American, Negro in color, and super common. You are the biblical Israelites of the Bible that got rules and regulations. They're like, you go to your job, you follow the rules to get there, you follow the rules back, and while you're in there, you do exactly what that man tell you to do, but you get your paycheck, right? That's the same thing you got to bring to your those that you got an ear to hear. If you got the platform, I heard the statement. We got the platform. If we in error, and us preachers make a lot of mistakes. That's what I heard. I heard that part too. So we got the platform. Come on the floor and help us out. So maybe he was calling for help. I don't know. But one thing about it, the help he has received so far ain't gonna cut it. So that's why the six anointed caps got to hear that early part of the tape and said, listen, I need to try to get in contact with them and tell them exactly this is what will help the people that's of your audience with your big dignitary self. But as long as you call them black, African American, Negro Hebrews, that ain't going to cut it because there ain't no blessing in that. Oh, so now you might get his attention. That's why it's very important to don't miss a class, don't miss a minute. Then take notes, because when it come up, you got it. So now in 4:21, now listen to the conversation. Now, the Almighty told Moses to take his place on earth, and Aaron be your seer. But let me straighten you up first, Moses, because I want you to go tell the sons of Ham something right now, up under the banner of Mizraim, called the Egyptians. And I heard that part, that 5,000 years ago, I went to Egypt and I seen writings on the wall, and the peoples was us in Egypt. Egyptology. No, you don't teach them nothing about that's slavery. You don't teach them about slavery. Why you make a trip over there to Egypt was where you got your back beat at? How y'all you make a trip through this Bible? Why we always got to keep our people all the time? Why don't you tell them about the great part that you once were and how you lost it? See, this is where we come in at. But we got to have this thing down pat and lose all the bump and gone contests and say, anytime you look at them peoples and you call them black, African-American, Negro, Hebrews, boom. It ain't no blessing in that. But now, since I got you here, and since we got platform, watch Mother E show you how you get your mighty one to intervene with you. Now watch this. 4:21-23. Take note there, young lion. Get them precepts together. Don't be thumbing around with it. rehearse the precept with the better head. Because when you fumble around, you're supposed to reach up and say, hey, you want such this thing. Because whatever you own, I'm on. Now, that's when you're working with something. Got it? Good. All right. 4, 21 down to verse 23. Come on, Eddie. Mother E, bring it out.
Exodus.
Yes.
Book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 21 to 23. Verse 21. And when Yahweh said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden him mind that he shall not let the people go. Verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn.
That's good talk there, mother. Hey, mother, what was missing in that conversation? Was anything about a Hebrew, black, Israelite, Negro, or color? Was anything a conversation based upon being black, Hebrew, Israelite, color, or super coon? What's in that conversation that get the Almighty all riled up, get him hot? What was told to Moses, mother? And don't be quick to take care of any space that's, if it's open space, that young line, but don't be quick to get in. Don't be slow to get in there. But my question is to the mother, Mother E. We is called in every meeting, African-American, Negro, color, or super coon, or black Hebrew Israelite. Guess what we call? But according to get Yahweh all roused up, what's in there to get the Almighty all roused up? You on the clock, mother, come out.
Okay. In verse 22, it said, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus said the Yahweh of Israel. Thus said the Yahweh. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So that's what I.
Excellent. So he put a name on his firstborn. He said, look here, Israel. So if you want to get the Almighty, get him all hot and hot and bothered, then if you hear Israel crying to him about a problem, he will say, that's my son. That's my daughter crying to me. And you know, if anybody don't have offspring, I don't care what you're doing, you might be in the kitchen cooking somewhere, and one of your child is in a distress, and they cry out, what do you do 100% of the time? Stop what you're doing and go put the eyeball on it, right? So the Almighty is saying, if you got the people's attention, why don't you tell the people that they're not? It ain't no blessing by being black, Hebrew, Israelite, Negro, color, and super cool. Ain't nothing in the Bible talks about their name that you up under. You unleft your name for a curse. And by you not having at the end of your name Israel, you are walked away and left the blessing that they're waiting on you. So that's why it's so important to have at the end of your name Israel. If you get a change, fine. But if you can't get a change, understand one thing. But when you talk to people, make sure at the end of your name is Israel. Why? Because you got all ears for the Son and the Father and his angels. That's listen. Look at your child on there talking that good talk. See that? As long as you got the names that the world on gave you, you is is in shortchange of your blessing. So that's what I got out that answer machine message, that we've been shortchanged of our blessing. Now, okay, so what you do now? The table was set to say, if you have any information that bring it to your table, Coach, we, as pastors, we don't have all answers. And we look, you know, not right in so many ways. Made a lot of errors. And that's true. So that's why the six anointed camps got to hear these things, because there's no accident. But when we show you the truth way about it, then you have to make a judgment according to the Bible. Because this is the time for this thing to unfold, but the only one going to unfold this day is the six anointed camps of Walking Over to His Life. Because we're going to read into your speech what you didn't say and bring out what you should have said when you had the big platform. All right, good. Now, so we got that out the way. Now, young line, a verse was written was in Psalm 78. I heard that, and I took notes. I'm a great, matter of fact, I'm a greater note taker than what I got. I fumble all around with the English language all day long. But one thing about the Osir, he's a great note taker. When you talk, the seer be writing. I took notes on the class yesterday in grade. I took a lot of notes. Good. I was listening to. I heard a lot of things, and I'll take a note. So in Psalm 78, there again, I heard this verse talked about in Psalm 78. But something you didn't say in Psalm 78 that we getting ready to read in Psalm 78, 1 through 10. Now listen to this. Psalm 78, 1 through 10. You're online. Brother Micaiah, what did it say? Come on.
Book of Psalms, chapter 78. Verse 1 down to verse number 10. Verse 1 reads, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Verse 2, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark things of old." Verse 3, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Yahuwah in his strength, in his wonderful works that he has done." Verse 5, "For he established a covenant in Israel and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children." Verse 6, "That the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Verse 7, "That they might set their hope in Yahuwah, and not forget the works of Yahuwah, but keep his command." Verse 8, "It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their mind aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with Yahuwah." Verse 9, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." Verse 10, "They kept not the covenant of Yahuwah, and refused to walk in his law."
Then what happened in verse 11? He said, "The children of Ephraim," and I didn't hear none of that from Psalm 78, "the children of Ephraim." Now, when you got the platform, and you got peoples that, you know, you got a mega platform. When you quote Psalm 78, big dignitary, but you never miss about the children of Ephraim. He says, when it got hot and heavy, the children of Ephraim turned their back. Huh? Mm-hmm. That was what we read. But see, the children of Ephraim is what you call the ones now. Majority of them, they goes to the Catholic Church. And they call Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and matter of fact, they call all them names. But guess what it is? They Guadalupe, the Catholic Church. See, they turned their back and went to Christianity. That's what they did. And right now when you see Ephraim, which is the leader, it's the head of the ten tribes, the northern kingdom, that came to America. And they came way before some, I heard something about some 400 years. See, I heard a whole lot. I knew John a whole lot. See, when I was telling the young lions and the elders to listen, the old Sid was writing down, see, I take this very serious on what I did here. I wrote it down. I'm a great note taker because my job is to make sure if I'm not telling as is and somebody can tell better, I'd rather you be where whatever is told to you more correctly. Because we know one thing. What we bring to the table, it ain't no lesson, no camp, no organization can step past the six anointed camps. Oh, they can backbite, but they will not outwork us in the word of Yahuwah. Because we're going to make sure we got our Yahuwah before us, and we're going to tell you what he's saying. And if he ain't saying that, he ain't saying it. And we're not affiliated with anybody, and we're not anti-anybody. We're just pro 12 tribes of Israel. That's what the Bible talks about, and that's what we talk about. So when it got hot and heavy, the 10 northern tribes of Israel turned their back. Now, when you turn your back when it's hot and heavy, let's see what Yahuwah said in verse 11.
The book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse number 11 reads, and forget his work and his wonder that he has showed them.
And they forgot. That's what they call Mexican, Puerto Ricans, Guatemalans, and everything. They forgot their name. They don't know that Ephraim is the one that brought you over here. He was the head, him and Gad, the head of the 10 tribes that came over here. And you can read that in Ezra chapter 1, the time they came over here. So where you get this 1619, 400 years conversation that I heard too. See, I heard your speech, but everything you said don't line up with the Bible. Your speech sounds good to those that's not learned, but the one that wants to know the truth, we give you what to do. So when you go back and hear the answer machine message again, and you figure out who boss that is talking, which I'm not going to tell you, then you have to tell him, listen, you want answers? We'll give you answers. The first thing you got to do, you got to get up off the wrong day. Your ministry is on the wrong day. And the ones you call the church is not who the people of the book is. You got a whole lot up in there that those seers just got to listen to. And guess what he going to do? He going to bring out every point that you said. Since we told this is the message we need to come together up under and pass it on to all of Black History Month. See, you put it out there. Like they say in the court of law, a judge, that you he opened the door for this to come in, and that's what he done did. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to examine word for word what you just got through saying, send you the Bible support, what you just got through telling at your mega church about the peoples that's called, in your mind, can't out your mouth, Black, African-American, Negro, color, and super cool, and Hebrew Israelite. That kind of talk. We're going to examine everything. Okay? But that ain't going to clear the guilty Catholic Church and Latter-day Saints. We will come back at you in a minute, so you just can wipe your forehead for a couple seconds. But don't think we ain't coming back at you. We ain't through with you. This is take 13. We just gonna make us a little sharp turn and take care of this message we heard. Then we'll get back on you. scripture-wise. Nothing personal. We're not tied in with any group, kinship to know any group. We are YHWH only.
Hallelujah. What?
We ain't connected to nobody. We connected to YHWH words. That's what we connected to. And if you connected to it, we all going to agree. You won't be talking about taking his head and running into the tree. But we on the same page if it come down this book. Good. So now, what do Thomas 1:3 say there, young man? I hear you there, Mother Z. Don't worry, Mother Z. We're going to bring you up, but let the seer get a couple of good shots in first. Thomas 1, verse 3 there, young man. What they say in Thomas? Now, Thomas, they got him in a book called St. John as Old Doubting Thomas. He said, Thomas, you got to stop being the way you are. You got to believe this thing. He said, Yahweh, I do believe. So we got to title some things. But what if after Yahweh straightened Thomas up, then he wrote his own book? And what he say in 1 verse 3 there, young man? What he say that we can read?
Book of Thomas, chapter 1, verse number 3. Verse 3 reads, Yahweh the Son said, if those who lead you say to you, see the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the sons of the living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty.
Mm-hmm. It's because you don't know yourself. And I also heard that big dignitary say, he said, once upon a time ago, I didn't like myself. I didn't, my black self. He said, everywhere I go, I can tell I'm in a black community because everything is all dusty and messed up and everything. Huh? That's what he said. He said something about that, too. He don't want to be black. He wish he wasn't black. I mean, he won't be something else. But it was then a little learning came to him. He said, that's once upon a time ago, so he got him a little learning. He said, now, he said, because we did not know that we wasn't always shiftless and lazy, or whatever he said, how he said that. No, I'm going to go back here and take myself a little bit of my step and get some more on that. Because I'm going to pick that message out, step by step, and seeking it hold up. But he said, us black folks, Negroes, we was once architects and everything. He said a lot of great things, but what he left out is, since you have the attention, is read exactly who you're talking about that was all this and a bag of chips. That's true. Now, young man, let's go to the book of Timbuktu. I don't know if WCC taking the steel. I mean, Eldo's microphone. Is the microphone still tied in there? Go action. Hey, Eldo, Tills. Mr. Tills. Babylon and Timbuktu, 2 page 9. They say your microphone have been taken off of mute. WCC said that. Your microphone is no longer on mute. So, if that's the case there, Israel, on page Babylon of Timbuktu by Rudolph R. Winslow, on page 90, Elder, I'll pick it up where it says the black. You got that, Elder? You on the clock. Come on. Hey, Elder, you got that? Hey, mother, give me Psalm 58, verse 3. One verse. Hey, Mother E, give O.C. one verse. 58, verse 3 of Psalms.
Book of Psalms, chapter 58, verse 3.
Verse 3.
Okay. Psalms, chapter 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
You see that? Now, I was just told that the elder microphone was ready to deliver, and then all of a sudden, his microphone ain't ready. Now, who is this wicked that we can read that come out the womb line that we can read? Give me Malachi 3, 3 and 4, Mother. Malachi chapter 1, verse 3, 3 and 4. See, remember one thing. We come on in that word. We not anti-anybody. We just pro-Bible. And that's what it is. But a person's word will be their bond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just told me his microphone was ready to go. And the microphone is not ready to go. See, you said it was. 500 million members of WCC, World Council of Churches. We say, see if we going to catch you in something tonight. Oh, yeah? Where you going to catch me in? What you reading there, Mother?
Malachi chapter 1, verses 3 and verse 4. Malachi chapter 1.
Thank you, Mother Z. See, that's one thing about old Mother Z. Mother Z, she hear you. See, she know her position. And all the mothers know their position, too. And they're prepared to help you if you listen. If you listen, you can learn something. That's all I'm telling you. Come on, Mother Z.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 3. And I hated Esau and laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Verse 4. Whereas Esau and his five sons said, we are in poverty, but we will return and build the desolate place. Thus said the Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness. And the people against whom the Yahweh has indignation forever.
And the peoples, he got indignation forever. And I also heard on that message that was sent to the Six Anointed Camps that Black Lives Matter, the Most High, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, everybody's life matters. I heard everybody, melting pot, rainbow conversation. I heard that part too. But we just read that according to the seer was told by the angel that he have a hate for peoples that's a wicked peoples called the sons of Esau, Genesis 25:25. He said he got indignation with these people forever. Sure going to be a fool like Becky and Sally and Ronnie and Joseph probably, you know, but as a nation, when he talks nation. He's not talking individual. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries. There's a lot of, I can tell a story once upon a time ago. I had a flat tire. And the sons of Esau helped me, taking me straight to the, and got my tire fixed it. And helped me put it back on and everything. And I said, how much owe you? He said, you don't owe me nothing. I just put out doing a good deed. So you always, but that don't mean you ignore what the Bible says. As a nation, not as individuals. Huh? Not as individuals, but as a nation, they're riding to the cold. Sons of Esau, as a nation. You got a lot of goods, you know, but as a nation, you're riding to the cold because you're sitting there watching wrong teaching, wrong understanding, and you ain't saying nothing, and you prosper off it. And that's what the wrong test is. They watching this thing, knowing that your leader is lying like a rug, like everything come out of the Catholic Church. They lying like a rug to you. Everything come out of the Latter-day Saints, they lying like a rug to you. When you examine it, they say they lying to you. Because they won't tell you who you are. They don't tell you who you are. Now, how many that look like somebody has told you exactly who you are? You are the children of Israel, you're people of the book, and you got a birth certificate record in Exodus chapter 1. Read it. Read your birth certificate record. All right, young lion. Did anybody look like another nation show you Exodus chapter 1 that you have a birth certificate? It's written in the book. Exodus chapter 1. Let's read till we get our point. Come on, young lion. What it said we can read. Now, you tell me. Just take your time. And anybody or the sinners of Esau, Moab, or Ammon ever told you that you got a birth certificate in the Bible in Exodus chapter 1. This is you right here, and this who you are. Now, when have this been told to you? Exodus 1:1. Keep reading till we get our point. Young lion, come on.
All right, we're going over to the book of Exodus, chapter 1, picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Israel. Verse 2, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Yada Judah. Verse 3, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Verse 4, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. Verse 5, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Israel were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Verse 6, and Joseph died, and all his brethren and all their generations. Verse 7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them.
Good. The children of Israel. So the children of Israel, one of these names is you. And the children of Israel, Mother Eve, and 49:20, now all 12 of these names, that is your forefathers' birth certificate. Did you hear what was not said? Nothing about a Jew, nothing about Jewish, nothing about black, African-American, Negro, and Supercoon. They was not in the birth certificate. So if it's not on my birth certificate of my forefathers, why you calling me that now? Now, you supposed to be such a friend to me today, why you never show me my birth certificate? Those of the Catholic Church, why you haven't showed none of your members your birth certificate, your forefathers' birth certificate? Why you never showed them that? That birth certificate, that's your father, and there go your bloodline right there. And all 12 tribes are called a mother generator reading. And 49:28, listen to what mother say. And you follow along, and you tell me, all the tithes, free will offering, and donation, and you confession books paid. Was you ever told this, that mother get ready to read them, 49:28 of Genesis? What did it say?
Genesis chapter 49, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their fathers speak unto them, and bless them. Everyone, according to his blessing, he blessed them.
So we don't supposed to be playing catch up. Why don't you just tell us that here's you. You was up on the blessing. You just fell away from your blessing. And we the wicked, and we supposed to whoop you until you come back to your senses. Why don't they tell you that? I mean, the closest one that looked like somebody else. Why don't the closest one tell you that? They ain't going to tell you that. but this is your best friend. Your best friend, best friend Becky and best friend Sally won't tell you that. See? They ain't going to tell you that the blessing is about you, for you and to you. They'll never tell you that. The Catholic Church would never tell you that. The Baptist Church would never. All of other Christianity would never tell you that. The big dignitaries, they'll never tell you that. It's about you, to you, for you. Children of Israel, 12 tribes. And every one of you is upon a blessing. That's if you do right. But you got to do what the Bible tells you to do. You got to come. You got to, what did it say, Mother, you got to do? I'm going to let Mother read this. What did it say? End time prophecy 18 verse 4. Revelation 18 verse 4. What the Bible tell you, what the Bible, you know, don't you have to do the right thing to get your paycheck? And you and you better be better unhappy if your paycheck ain't where it's supposed to be, right? Don't you know this man got rules and regulations? If this man tell you something to receive your salvation and your paycheck, why you pay those sales on never mind? We're gonna read Revelation 18 verse 4. What does that Mother, we can read?
Book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4. Revelation 18, 4 reads, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her plague.
You see what he said? John is writing it here after 1:17 through 19 and 4:1. He said, my people, come out of her. And that's a big statement right there. Now look at the Latter-day Saints saying, well, we are the peoples. We are the peoples. No, Latter-day Saints. Not when you preach up your Bible. You might be that if you preach up your Bible, but me and a young man going to preach up that and see exactly what you're talking about. See, all you got to do is know how to suck it up and preach up your Bible. See, if you don't know how to preach up your Bible, I know what you're working with. You try to win a bump and gum contest. You're going to lose it every time. Why don't you just let whatever said and just go in the Bible and say, in the seventh chapter, young man, we're going to the seventh chapter of Second Samuel. See, this is what you do. See, you got to know how to lose the bump and gum contest. And whatever is on the table, when it come up on some air, then put some book on them. That's all you got to do. Now watch the case in point. Now, the Latter-day Saints said they are the peoples of the book. See? They are the Latter-day Saints. Okay? Let's see where that hole up when you open your Bible up. On the seventh chapter, young man. And we're going to look at 8 down to 11, just get warmed up. Let's see what 8 to 11 say. 2 Samuel chapter 7 down to verse 11. Listen to this right here. You got to say, listen to this, where we all read together. What does it say? 8 down to verse 11. Where the young lion at? Where the young lion at? Dear, you have said too much. The young lion is going on milk. Well, Mother, it looks like it's just me and you on the rest of the broadcast. But you like I told you, and Craig, you sharp, but you're standing tall. Hey, that's the way it is. That's what God keep telling you. Same thing I'm telling Sister BSJ Israel. Now, sooner or later, you got to get this microphone ready to start hollering the microphone. Because every now and then, a big dignitary just don't like what the seer brings to the table. And that dog nuking people out. Got it? Good. Now, Mother, so the young lion is nuked out of the broadcast for the rest of the night. So, Mother Z, get, read some books out a little bit. Might be needed in a minute. So, now, Mother, speak. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, can you help me verse number through 11. What do 8 through 11 say, Mother?
Mm-hmm. Second Samuel, chapter 7, verse 8 to 11. Now, therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David, thus said the Yahweh of hosts, I took thee from the
sheep coat
mm-hmm. from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. Verse 9. And I was with
thee. Hold that point, Mother. Hey, hold that point, Mother. Hold that point. Who is his people?
Israel. My people, Israel.
Oh, so when you read in 49:28, tell me saying the blessing is only you, Israel, but ain't no blessing on African American Negro. So if you send that, if you're in a ministry, and all they talk about is African American Negro calling Christian, you don't left your blessing outside of the place. He said this is, he said his people is, he made David over his people's Israel. That sounds good. And what does he say in verse 9? So he talked to the seer to tell David something. So what he say in verse 9 that we can read, Mother?
Second Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. And I was with thee wheresoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth.
Hold that point, Mother. That big talker there. Now, I got to precept that, Mother. Now, Mother Z, I got to precept that. I got to precept on that. Because I heard something. And see, when you hear something, that you got to stop what you're doing and precept the book. So if you send a ministry that ain't precepting the Bible, what, they letting their emotions tell the story? Of the flesh tell the story? No. That's the Bible said. He said, told old seer Nathan, is he going to tell that old David that I'm the one that took you from following the sheep coat?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm the one that cut off all your enemies. He said, and I made your name as one of the great names among the peoples, among the earth. He said, I'm the one, Donald David. You tell that old David what I just said. Now, Mother, he said, he told him, I cut off all the enemies. Hey, Mother Z, what about that? In Luke chapter 1, 6 and 7. Let's read a little bit. Let's make a little detour, Mother Z. And we look at the book called Luke 1, 6 and 7, down in verse 72. Take your time there, Mother Z. Let's see, can you do your part in some dust, says Yahuwah. Because all the ill is milked out. The young lion is milked out. And Sister B.S.J. Israel, she said, I ain't ready yet to get on the microphone yet. I need to hear some more dust, says Yahuwah. Okay, good. So when you're ready, let us know. Come on, M.O.Z.
Luke chapter 1, 6 and 7. Book of Luke.
7 to 72. Mm-hmm.
70 to 72. Luke.
Yeah, 6 to 7.
Chapter 1.
Yeah, 1.
Luke chapter 1, verse
1,
7.
No, 1, 6 to 7. I started at 1, 6 to 7.
1. Oh, Luke chapter 1. Verse 67. Okay. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the righteous spirit and prophesied, said.
And prophesied.
Prophesied, said. Verse 68. Blessed be the Yahweh of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Verse 69, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the arbor of his servant David. Okay, let me read 69 over again. And he has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. 70, verse 70. As he spoke by the mouth of his righteous seals, which has been since the world began. Verse 71, that we should be servants of our enemy.
We should be saved. Hey, Mo Z, we should be saved from our enemies. So Zechariah is here. He pointed way back here. He said, he on the right side of the book says, he says it's written somewhere that we supposed to be saved from our enemies. He'll redeem us to be saved from our enemies. But we said, we ain't got no enemies. But what is Zechariah prophesizing about? That you do have enemies. You know what? You know why you know you got enemies? How many times they told you anytime that you are the people of the book, the children of Israel, and here your birth certificate is, 12 tribes of Israel, and you upon the blessing, and we of the other nation is supposed to trap you up every way we possibly can. When they tell you that? They ain't gonna never tell you that. And I'm the one that is not gonna tell you, all they do tell you. Listen, you see Exodus chapter 1? One down there, that's you. That is your genealogy. That's who you are. You are a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, and we from the other nations. We are the descendants of Esau, Moab, and Ammon, called white man, white woman, Japanese, and Japan, what they call it, Japanese and Chinese. See, that's the biblical name. Why didn't they ever tell you that? You got degrees in the woman. Why didn't they ever tell you who they really are? And then they explain you, your book. And I'll even tell you, no, this is your book. We stole this book from you. When you went into captivity, we grabbed your records. Then we put our name on your records. We become you, and now you, but you got to be now African-American, Negro, color, and Hebrew Israelite. That's who you are now. But that ain't you according to the Bible. So when did Becky ever tell you that? When I told, you know, I love, yeah, but why have you never told me that you got my records? That you got a identity step on me? Why you never tell me that? I can tell my loved ones that I can't be like you. You got to be like me. Why you never told me that? See? So you see, all this got to be dealt with. That's what I said. We see spirit land on the Bible. We don't know where we're going. But we'll get you there if you just take notes and understand one thing. You want to return back to the YHWH of Israel, you 12 tribes of Israel. It ain't no blessing on what you own now. If you ain't got on at the end of your name Israel, then you holding your blessings down. So we just got to be reading that too. So you can continue to have, you know, the other nation's name at the end of your name, whether it change or not. In your mind to get to him, you know you got who you are. Israel. You got to deal with that. Similar to that. Got it? Good. Come on, mother. Give me verse 70 down to verse 32. 72. verse 71 and 72. You're doing great, Mother Z. Just bring on see a little bit more. Come on.
Luke chapter 1, verse 71 to 72. They that we should be saved from our enemy and from the hands of all them that all that hate us. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our Father and to remember his righteous covenant.
You see that? So when you got a platform, you both tell them that, dignitaries. See, we the one need to be saved. See, how is the Moab, Ammon, or Esau, they don't need to be saved. They already they got everything. What they what, don't need no savior. We the one need a savior. How can you say you say, you say by continue what you're doing until your time is up? We don't want it to be saved from all this bad teaching we got over our head. We need to be saved. That's why he said we got to be saved from our who? Our enemies. What do you mean by enemies? Those that don't teach you the truth of this book. And it was no word given to the Catholic Church. The word was given to Israel. What you mean now? Catholic Church out of New York. What you mean? It was given to us. No. Okay, let's precept that. Hold that point. Hey, mother, we know you on something. Mother. Hold that point. Go to Amos 3. Hey, mother, run to Amos and see what the seer said. See, the Catholic Church out of New York, Big Timothy Dolan's church, said, no, we was given the word. Well, let's see. Let's see, Big Timothy Dolan out of New York. Let's see what you're giving the word when we precept the Bible. Take a deep breath. And go to Amos 3, 1 and 2. Hey, Marie, what do Amos 3, 1 and 2 say and verse 7?
Amos chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 7.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. What that say?
Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins. Verse 7. Surely the Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant, the seer.
Hey, that's up. The angel told Amos the seer, if he got something to say, he's going to say it to his seer. And you know, Latter-day Saints, they said Joseph Smith is the seer. But he says his seers come out of Israel. You don't come out of Israel. You come out of Esau. See?
Mm-hmm.
That's not right when you shine the light on it. That's not right neither. See, what we're trying to tell you, since you're in this, since you want to go with the Black History Month, okay, you got the platform for Black History Month. Why don't you tell the part about, once upon a time ago, what you was. I heard you say that you was architects and all this good stuff and great things. We heard that. But so happened we can't take care of that in this lesson because the WCC say he going to nuke out all the microphones on the elder and the young line. Okay? But we're going to take care of it tomorrow. So that's what we get ready to say. See, what we're telling you, examine what your salvation on the line. If you don't come clean, like Paul did, Mother Eve. Let me show you what Paul came clean. Because Yahweh asked him a question, why are you doing what you're doing, Paul? So Paul had a testimony, according to 1:13, after Yahweh, you know, straightened him up a little bit. You know, got him straight, taking his eyesight from him, told him to go get your eyesight right, you know, get off the ground. His rear end was supposed to be it. So Yahweh cleaned him up real good. Now he had a testimony. Look, let's hear his testimony he got. And the big dignitaries got to hold on to this testimony you give right here. Well, Paul say in 1:13, 1 Timothy. What did Paul say in 1:13 there, Mother?
Okay, 1 Timothy. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. I can't get there. 1 Timothy, Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurer? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant and unbelief.
He said, I thought I was right. And the same thing going to happen to those, you know, that keep on pressing you based upon the fact that, we've been Roman Catholic Church member for the last 20 generations and all that kind of stuff. That don't mean anything. The light have been turned on now. And when your light turned on, you got to make adjustments. You're not African American, Negro, and colored supercoon. Your forefathers never kept Sunday, 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock. They never kept, and they received a blessing. Saturday was sundown on Friday, sundown on Saturday. Why don't they tell you that part? They won't even tell you that. They'll tell you what happened in 321 and Constantine, the dark-skinned man, changed the Sabbath day to the first day of the week. Yeah, you dark-skinned man because you paint the likeness of yourself on everything. You know, Constantine, you go back and bring up Constantine's mother. Go back and go in your community. Show me Constantine's mother. He said, my, look at his mother. And guess what? His father looked just like her mother. But you got to do your work, like he said earlier on that tape party earlier we heard on that. He said, look here, once upon a time, you know, we put out these books and research. He said, y'all got it all at y'all, at your cell phone now, whatever. You can ask your cell phone some things now. He said, we had to spread our books out a long time ago in dictionaries and encyclopedias. But see, no, you ain't got to do none of that no more. All you got to do is ask your phone. Show me a picture of Constantine's mama and his father. He said, my man, Constantine, this man is a dark-skinned man and his mother. Then why you got him looking like Charlton Heston, father? why you got them looking like that man? Then you go back and you pull up the prophecy and tell you why. The prophecy tell you in 1 Maccabees 3:48, they're going to change the likeness of you and put themselves in your place. It's written in 1 Maccabees 3:48. They can look right at you and paint the likeness of themselves. And that was in your mind today. When you pray, don't you really visualize the sinners of Esau, white man, white woman, when you be praying? When you be praying, oh Lord God Jesus Christ, would you do me a favor? What sinners be in your mind? White man, white woman, right? You know, do you know, even if you follow them, you're not in the right. Suppose you look at your hair and you don't like it, and you go dye your hair. Dye your hair to with the basketball players that just got through breaking that record. He had his wife standing next to him, and the picture was shown of his wife. She had on, she had blonde hair. She, I mean, she, die to have fun. He ain't grinning real good, right? But he's a billionaire too, ain't he? But what do the Bible say about that? What do the Bible say about that? Hold that mother. Let's take a look at something. See, we got so much to bring to the table, spirit-led. What do the Bible say if you know of someone that have put blonde in their hair? Do you know what the Bible got something to say about that? Let's see what the Bible say about that. By you, that you look at your hair, say, you know, I like to just dye my hair blonde. Because, you know, it tells you on that one hour saying, blondes have more fun, right? That's what it says. But mother, when we go examine the Bible about blonde hair, let's see what the Bible said to the children of Israel about blonde hair. Let's go to Leviticus 13, verse 1. Let's see what it says in 13, verse 1. 13, verse 1, mother.
Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, verse 2. When
the
man.
That's good, mother. That's good, mother. That's good. All I want to do is, all I want to know who's talking. Who talking and who talking to whom, mother? That's all I want to know in verse 1. Who talking and who talking to who? And Yahweh said unto Moses. So this is Yahweh talking to Moses. And what do he say in verse 29, mother? What do he say in 29 and 30? 29, 30, and 32. Let's see what Yahweh said to Moses, the tale of children of Israel. And what we get ready to read is 13 chapter. We'll pick up at verse number 29, 30, and 32.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 29, verse 30, and verse 32. Verse 29, I am a man, or a woman, have a lead upon thee.
No, hold that. Hold on, mother. He says, the word he says, if. Now he says, if a man or a woman have a plague upon their head or upon their beard, if. He's telling them, if this happened.
Okay.
He said, if this happened. Verse 30. What happened in verse 30, mother?
Verse 30. Then the priest shall see the blood, and behold, if it be in the sight deep, then the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair. Then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scalp, even a leper. Upon the head, a beard.
Hold on, mother. Hold on. Let's examine that, mother. We want to examine that. He says, if the priest, that means your pastor, your leadership, whoever over you in spiritual matters, it be over you. And he look out there and see you with a plague. And a plague, and this plague he's talking about is a plague of in the skin be a yellow thin hair. Yellow hair is called blonde. Blonde hair. See, look out there and see you got in yellow, that's mean blonde. If you see you got yellow thin hair, you know, thin, that means you don't put so much perm in it, you now you just about to take one string at a time. Now it's going all the way down your back now. Yellow thin hair all over your head. You know, like the basketball player that's a billionaire, his wife got yellow thin hair all through her head. He said, now those that know my word, Moses, of leadership. If you see this now, in the children of Israel, your thin hair, you're talking about thin hair now. You know how you put too much cock and perm in your head till you have me so thin and you just get just shake your head, you know, and your hair just fly all over the place, right? Fly everywhere. Good. So he giving out some orders to the Moses to tell to Aaron and his son, tell the children of Israel. If you see this now in the children of Israel, if you see it, now listen. For time's sake, skip down verse 32, Moses. Let's see what he says. If you see it, verse 32.
Leviticus chapter 13, verse 32. Verse 32 reads, and in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the flesh, and behold, if the scab spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the scab be not in sight, and the scale be not in sight deep than the skin.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying now, if you look on a person that got this yellow thin hair on their head, now you got to come back and check on them in 7 days. And if it's still, and 7 days have passed, and they still got, you know, yellow thin hair in their head, still got it. You check, you tell them, but now you will come back in 7 days and check them out. And if they still have yellow hair in their head, that's called blonde today. You know, blonde hair more fun, right? Get on verse 35, mother.
Verse 35 and verse 36. But if the scale spread much in the skin after his cleansing. Verse 36. Then the preacher look on him, and behold, if the scale be threaded in the skin, the priest shall not see for yellow hair. He is unclean.
What? Now, Mother Malik, y'all want to explain what you just got through hearing him? Now, after the leadership came back, at first they don't told you about it. Now, they'll come back and check you out in 7 days. And if they still see you, after you've been instructed about blonde hair in your head, and they come back and visit you in 7 more days, and they still see you got blonde hair on the children of Israel, you just message to the children of Israel. You know what you call African American Negro in color and super cool and black Hebrew Israelite. Leadership come back in 7 days later and see you with blonde thin hair in your head. You know what I mean? You don't perm it out real good. You don't pay a good price for like Beyonce. Paid a good price for it, you know. And he come back and catch you 7 days later.
Mm-hmm.
According to verse 36, Moses, what do the priest supposed to say? According to verse 36. Now, I ain't going to say nothing, Mother E or Mother Z. Y'all look at verse 36, and you get in the microphone and you tell that audience over 800,000 strong, we on Pal Talk, Blog Talk, we on Facebook, and we on YouTube. You tell, according to verse 36, when we tell you prior to that, then come back 7 days later and see the same thing. According to verse 36, y'all take it from there. I'm all ears.
Okay, it says in verse 36, it says, if the scale be spread in the skin, the priest shall not see for yellow hair. He is unclean.
So what that mean, Mother? Which one of y'all take a shot at that? What that mean?
It means they still have it left.
So if you come back in 7 days and they still got the perm in their head, yellow thin hair in their head, and you came back in 7 days, according to the Bible, what are they according to the Bible?
They are unclean.
I hate that song. You mean if you got yellow hair in your head, according to the Almighty Bo-Letter Man, Yahweh, telling Aaron, tell the children of Israel, if any one of the children of Israel, one you call African-American Negro in color, got blonde hair in his head called yellow hair in the eyes of the Almighty, tell them they are what?
Unclean.
Ain't that something? You hear what the Bible saying? So this is what you're supposed to look out in leadership and you see these things. Why you ignore what the Bible says? Those of Israelite descent, the one you call African American Negro in color and supercolor and black Hebrew Israelites, if you got yellow hair in your head, you unclean. Yes. And you see when they got the yellow hair, they actually move it all around and like get close to the anything where the wind blowing, the hair can blow off. That is unclean to the children of Israel. Is that what we read? Is that what we read?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, if they still want to wear the yellow hair on their head, turn it out, then Yahweh told Moses to tell Aaron, children of Israel, if you, I came back 7 days and caught you with the same blonde hair in your head, what's supposed to happen next according to verse 44 and 45? Let's see what the Bible says. Come on, Mother. What's supposed to happen in verse 44 and 45?
Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44 and verse 45. Verse 44. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His flesh is in his head. Verse 45. And the lepers in whom the flesh is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean.
What that supposed to mean, Mosey? What that supposed to mean? What that supposed to mean? What do you mean by put a covering over your lip? You know you walk around with the mask all over your mouth? You walk around the mask all over your mouth now, right? Put that mask on your mouth. You put the mask on your mouth, and you got that blonde hair in your head. Contact with another Israelite. What are you supposed to do with that mask on your mouth? You're supposed to say what?
Unclean, unclean.
And how you supposed to do it? How you supposed to do it according to that last line?
And that last line.
Yeah.
Eat and unclean. The last line of 46.
Yeah.
45. Oh. 45. The last line.
Yeah.
Oh, he shall put a cover up on his lip and shall cry unclean, unclean.
So how are you supposed to say he unclean there, or cheat? What are you supposed to do, Mama?
Cry. Unclean, unclean.
Ain't that something? You mean you're supposed to cry it out? I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Oh. So you're supposed to cry it out with the mask over your nose and your mouth, saying, I'm unclean, unclean. And we supposed to know by Israel, oh, you must got some blood in your hair or something, huh? So you're supposed to holler when you come in contact with any Israelites. You're supposed to say, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. You're supposed to cry it out. That's what he said, cry out. She'll cry, unclean, unclean. And all you got is blonde hair on your head. So blonde hair in the sight of the Almighty is unclean hair. Mr. Preacher, why don't you tell the people the reason they ain't got the blessing? You can't be like them, they got to be like you. The children of Israel wasn't no blonde. They didn't put blonde in their head. The world did that. And if the children of Israel, one you call African-American, Negro in color, got blonde in his head, when you come in contact with another Israelite, you're supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean.
Right.
He is a mother. Is that what we're reading here?
Right.
Is we reading this?
Right. Hallelujah.
So if we're going to do Bible, what? See, this is what I did hear in the message that will be rebroadcast at 9:15. If you got the platform, tell the people why they're in the condition they're in today. You can't follow them. They got to follow you. See?
Mm-hmm.
And we kept them standing and grinning with that yellow in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
You got to call it up. Then And see, let me tell you something. The Almighty, that's why I say a lot of things got to be taught that's not been taught. See, when back in the days when the Almighty got mad at you, do you know what he did? You know the worst punishment he can put on the children of Israel when he get mad at you? Let's go to the 12th chapter, verse 1. You know, so it ain't no accident you mute everybody off the broadcast. They couldn't talk. So when we talk about something else for a minute, do you know when the Almighty is mad at you, back in the days, when he got so mad at these children of Israel, and Numbers chapter 12, Mother. Hey, Mother Zeke, you start off in 12. And the 12th chapter of Mother Zeke. Now, we're going to talk about when the Almighty is not happy with you. You know how you tell somebody, I'm going to fix you. I'm going to fix you. You know how you tell somebody, you walk away, I'm going to fix you. Now they know when they heard you say, you're going to fix them, that means they got to watch themselves because you're not happy with them. I'm going to fix you. So now the 12th chapter, Mother. Let's see what we can read. And we'll pick up verse 3. We're going at Numbers 12, verse 3. Read verse 3 and 4. Then Mother, you pick up verse 5. We just about close this out. Because we did kind of give a broadcast of missed a lot of good ministers. But evidently, everything is in hand in Yahweh. So now, but tomorrow would be... we'll pick back up on this again tomorrow. You know. So at 6 o'clock. So Numbers chapter 12, Mother. See? What it says in read verse 2 down in verse 4. 2 down in verse 4. Read verse 2, 3, and 4. What does it say that, Mother Z? 2, 3, and 4.
Numbers chapter 12, verse 2, 3, and 4. Numbers chapter 12, verse 2, and they said, has the Yahweh indeed spoke only by Moses? Have he not spoke also by us? And the Yahweh heard it. Verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which was upon the face of the earth. Verse 4, and the Yahweh spoke certainly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out.
So, you know, you remember once upon a time ago, Mother Z, when you spoke real quick to one of your offspring, you know, you, hey, what you doing over there? You know, you spoke, so he spoke quickly to them. So Yahweh got the attention. You three, hey, hey, come out of the temple. Come out, you three. Is that what's going on so far, Mother Z?
Yes.
All right. What happened next, Mother Z?
Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. And the Yahweh come down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle temple and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both come forth. Verse 6. And he said, hear now my word. If there be a seer among you, I, the Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark seats. And the similitude of the Yahweh shall be, behold, wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
Hold that point, Mother. Hold that point right there. Hold that point. You see that? So otherwise, you see when he called them three out, come up out of there. He's not happy now. So he's not happy. He said, He said, you three come out. He looked the other two. He said, let me tell you something. He said, when I got something to say to Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth. He said, apparently, not in dog speech. He said, why are you not afraid to run your mouth against my man Moses? He said, y'all should be afraid. Hey, Mother Z, a precept there for me. Give me one verse. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12. Kind of read back. Give me 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12. See, what he don't like, he going to take you. So all this about doing so much and doing so much, he don't like that. Now, in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 12, Mother. Hey, Mother Z, can you help those see out in 36, verse 12, what it say?
2 Chronicles 36, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 12. Verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Yahweh, in the sight of Yahweh, his Yahweh, and humble not himself before Jeremiah the seer speaking from the mouth of the Yahweh.
He says, well, you don't humble yourself when the seer is present. He says that's an evil thing. Because the seer speaks from the mouth of Yahweh. So when you all of a sudden become a hellcat, hell raiser, and you don't humble yourself among when the seer is present or leadership, how do Yahweh see that? How do Yahweh feel about that according to verse 12?
Okay. How do we feel about it? Okay.
Yeah, according to verse 12.
When you do that, you're doing evil.
Excellent. See, you're doing evil. See, when you let your feelings get in the way, and anointed leadership and the seer, and you get in your feelings in the sight of Yahweh, what is that in his sight, according to 36 verse 12? What is it again, Mosey?
You're doing evil.
So there go the verse. You're doing evil. So you let your spirit get in the way where you disrespect leadership, the seer, and you let your spirit, your flesh, take over the mouth in the presence of leadership, the mothers, the seer. What? How do Yahweh look at that mother again, according to that verse?
As you're doing evil.
That's evil. All right, keep that in your mind. Now, so Miriam and Aaron was telling Moses some things, so just humble themselves because they didn't know, understand everything. They both been humbling themselves, Mother Eve. They didn't humble themselves. So they won't talk smack back to Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Now we're coming back to verse number 12:9. Now watch this now. Miriam is 86 years old. Aaron is 84. Moses is 80 years old. So they don't see each other for a long time. So they don't watch each other for a long time. Miriam, 86. Aaron, 84. Moses is 80. Come on back, Mother, in 12, verse number 9.
Numbers chapter 12, verse 9. In the ministering spirit of the Yahweh was kept. And the anger of the Yahweh was kept against him. And he departed.
Stop it there, Mama. What is Yahweh doing before he departed? What kind of move he in that he departed? How do he feel when he was departing?
He was in an angry state of mind.
Now keep that, paint the picture real good. Now he's very mad. He's angry and he departed. You know how you walk away from somebody, said you might shake the finger at somebody and they remember that you shook the finger but you was leaving. 1 Kings 12:10.
Okay, verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle temple. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous.
Wait a minute, Mom. What's the definition of leper? She became leopard. What's the definition in this case, what it means in verse 10? According to verse 10, the third line.
Okay. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle temple, and behold, Miriam became leopard.
What does that mean? She became leopard. What does that mean?
When Yahweh left.
What does that mean? No, hold on, mother. I gotta get this answer out you. Miriam became. That means she wasn't. She became leprosy. And what do that mean? The next three words. What do leprosy mean? Hear it, but next three words.
Why did it snow?
She became Marilyn Monroe. She didn't look like Marilyn Monroe for the first 86 years, and for Aaron's 84 years, for Moses' 80 years, she became leopard, white as snow.
Mm-hmm.
That means the children of Israel never was white as snow. She became leopard, white as snow. Not that they were So he put on her what he know what hurt her the most. Turned out white as snow. Made her look like Marilyn Monroe. Or give me another name. Give me another name. Made her look like Jenny Craig. Give me another name. Give me another name. Give me another name. Made her look like what's that woman that teach the Bible? What's her name?
Elizabeth Taylor.
That's right. That's actually my. She came looking like Elizabeth Taylor. She thought looking like Elizabeth Taylor. Now that she had the Elizabeth Taylor look, according to Aaron and Moses. Verse 11. Now, remember, she's looking like Elizabeth Taylor right now. 12, verse 11. Read it, Mother. 12, 11.
Verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, Elias, my Yahweh, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein he have sinned.
Wait a minute.
Verse 12.
So hold on, Mother. Aaron said unto Moses, Allah, my Yahweh, I beg you, beseech, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. I mean, what did Yahweh do? What did he do? All he done was turn us to look like Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor. All he done was turn her to look like Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor. That's all he did. But when they looked at their sister, which is 86 years old, looking like Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor, how did they describe that look in verse 12, Mother? Take your time, verse 12.
Verse 12. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he come out of his mother's womb.
Ain't that something? You mean to the children of Israel, when you got blonde hair, white skin all around you, according to the children of Israel, what does that look like again in verse 12? We're going to stop right there. I'm 12. What does it look like, again in verse 12, to Aaron, which is 84 years old, and Moses, 80. They looked on their sister, 86 years old. According to verse 12, in their eyesight, what do Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor look like to them, according to verse 12? Y'all take your time and help those see out. What does it look like?
The flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. That's what they look like.
Yeah, but what about the top part? What about the top part of it? What it look like on the top part of verse 12?
Oh, let her be not like as one dead.
Hey, that's something. We're going to stop it right there. We're going to stop it right there. Now, you see, that's why I know all the statues you got in the Vatican City and everywhere, it's not right. It's not right for you not to doing right. It's not right. That color that you got, that pale off color you got with all them statues, it's wrong. And the children of the book is wrong for you to be into that kind of situation. It's wrong. The people of the book, if you go to Walmart and ask them for some human soil, show me what it looked like, human soil. And they'll show you something that's black, in black and rich in black. That's where man came from. Mosey, give me a close statement behind that, Mo. We'll get back on the Mars at the clock. Let's leave that just where is that there. Mosey, what you got to say behind that? Come on.
Mother Z.
What your closing statement is behind that, Mother Z? So what you got to say in your closing statement?
I'm going to... My closing statement is I thank Yahweh for the class, and thank Yahweh for the seal, and thank Yahweh for all that is in the class. And I'm going to read in Psalms 106. I'm going to start reading at verse 12. And this is coming from the book of Psalms 78:11. I know my closing statement.
Oh, okay.
78:11, and I'm gonna go to Psalms chapter 106 and start reading at verse 12. Read a couple of verses. Then delivered they his work. They, sung his praises. Verse 13. They soon forgot his work. They were not of his counsel. Verse 14. But lust exceeded in the wilderness and tempted Yahweh in the desert. Verse 15. And he gave them their, let's see.
You said Psalm 78.
I'm reading in Psalm 106. Required, but sent language, I don't know that, unto thy soul, verse 16, I'm just going to say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, hallelujah, Yahweh. All right, Mother E, what your closing statement is? Remember, tomorrow back on at 6 o'clock. What your closing statement? Come on. Mother E.
No, just thanking and praising Yahweh for this class, and thanking and praising Yahweh for being in the class. And I'm going to read Psalm 103:1-7. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his righteous name. Verse 2. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgive all things? Who forgive all thine iniquities, sin? Who heals all thy diseases? Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy? Who steadfast, thou, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is rewarded like the eagle? Verse 6. The Yahweh executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Excellent. Catch you all tomorrow at 6 o'clock. For some more B-O-T-T-Y. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Your work is not away from the church. You don't have to leave the church.
in order to do work. The church, the African-American church, has been the catalyst helping hold our community together. Woe unto us if for whatever reason we get mad, fall out, leave the church, and think that we're going to go somewhere and we're going to build our community outside the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and he intends for the church to build up the rest of the world.
Yes.
We need to look at how we were tricked into selling our own people out.
Yes.
You know, and so that's one part of our history that I'll never want us to miss, because we are being tricked into selling our own people out now.
Yes.
But the other thing about it is to study Egyptology. I went to Egypt once, and I was looking at all the pictures on the wall, and I was looking at how in Egypt, 5,000 years ago, black people were actually operating. They were using anesthesia. They were on top of all of the medical field, and all of that was happening in Egypt with black people 5,000 years ago. But that's a part of where we have been programmed. If people tell you that you are a jungle bunny and that you were a heathen in the jungles and you were not doing anything and that's where you came from, then you have a perception that that's all you are.
Yes.
But had they ever said to us, you know, you guys were scientists, you guys were builders, you guys built pyramids, you guys figured out everything, had they told us that, we would have been saying, oh, well, we are from a mighty people. And so now we are of age. We can Google. We can go on Internet.
Right.
We can search, and we can find out how black people have not only built this country, but the country where we came from, how we built that country. And it's our obligation to do the research and then to pass it on to future generations. Psalm 78 talks about that we're supposed to pass the Bible on to future generations. We're also supposed to pass our own history on to our generations. And if we don't pass it on, then our young people will never know what we have been, and they'll never aspire to be. I don't have anything against rappers. The greatest thing that I was born to share as it relates to black history is how I used to feel ashamed of being black. I really did. I was ashamed because our neighborhoods were always impoverished. Our schools were always the worst schools. Whenever I was driving a car, I know when I got to a black neighborhood.
Yeah.
You just look at it and say, oh, God, everything run down. And I used to wonder, what's wrong with black people? Are we shiftless? Are we lazy? Why can't we get it together? Why can't we organize like every other ethnic group? Until I learned the history. And when I discovered that we have been oppressed for 400 years in this country, we had to work in this country without wages. Without being, no other ethnic group has ever had to work in America without getting paid. When the Lithuanians, the Poles, the Chinese, everybody who came here, they had a right to organize. They had a right to an education. They had a right to a paycheck. We were denied all of that. When slavery ended, it was another 130 years of Jim Crow,
yep.
Which means that we still had schools that we couldn't attend. So we are just now getting to a point where, and we're still not equal. So our school system is still not equal. So when I looked around and discovered all of that, and I saw and I see how far we've come, and we've operated under barriers that have been totally against us, I am proud to have seen our people grow and make the strides that we have and progress. We have a lot of progression to go, but don't ever be, those of you who are African-American, don't ever be ashamed that you are an African-American. Don't ever be ashamed of where we are in America. Look at how far we've had to come. Look at the hole that we were in. For people to tell us, let's just forget all of that happened. Let's just start equal. We can't start equal. If we were in a race and you had a 40-minute head start,
exactly.
And then I show up at the race and you say, okay, catch him. That's well, imagine 400 years.
Yes,
I tell you, here's a 400-year head start. So no, it's hard for me to catch you. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep running. Yeah, we got to keep running. I'm here to help people spiritually connect to God. That's what I feel most comfortable doing. That's what I love to do. Helping people who don't know God connect to God, connect to the Bible, connect to their purpose. And so you find out what you're comfortable with. And Millennium and Gen X, I'm going to tell you now, God has some great work in store for you. You have to look at now, okay, what did the game used to be? How has it changed? And now that it's changed, what do we do now in the context of that change to continue to make strides? And so it's a study game. And this is the enlightenment generation. And we shouldn't be afraid of research and study. You know how kids, we used to research with encyclopedias?
Yeah, yeah. And I was
put all about it. Wagner's and Stoneman. And we had to sit out in the floor and we had to read through all of that. And this is the generation of instant information. So if they change the game, we can study what the game used to be. We can study up on what the new game is. And then, boom, here's our strategy. And that's what we're looking for millennials to do. We're looking for millennials to create strategies. Those millennials who, and those Gen Z who are discontented with the Church of Jesus Christ, give us your strategy. Give us strategy and say, hey, look, if you all would do X or Y or Z, or have you ever considered having preaching and no music? Or have you ever considered having music and no preaching? Have you ever considered, whatever you think your strategy is, you should be comfortable in your local church sharing your strategies